call no one father. It's thrown at Catholics all the time. I have these strange experiences now that I've, you know, I've had this varied, diverse life and had an opportunity to meet a lot of people with different backgrounds, and they get tongue-tied now when I'm around them. I don't care what they call me. I don't tell them what to call me. But particularly if they have some of these really hard Protestant backgrounds, Missouri Synod Lutheran, Bible Church people, it's like they forgot my name. And we'll stand there, we'll see each other, and they'll say, "Ha!" And I know what's going on. It's that this has been drilled into them. This one line, call no one father. Nobody manages or has really taken this and put it into the full context of what Jesus was talking about. Call no one father. Jesus himself refers to Father Abraham. What's that all about? Jesus says, what father among you would deny his child a loaf of bread? He's not condemning the word. Here's what he's talking about. And it comes right out of the text. You have to see the context of this thing. Little historical background. In 722, the northern tribes, after rebelling 200 years earlier against the kings of Judah in Jerusalem, the 10 northern tribes bail. Really, they're invaded by Assyria, and they cease to exist for 700 years. They split off from Jerusalem in the 900s, and in the 700s, 722, they lose their line of kings. We lose all historical contact with those people. They didn't go away. And many people remained faithful Jews, but they weren't as good as the people in the area around Judah and Benjamin, those two that left right around Jerusalem, that had the temple, that trained Pharisees, that sent out people called rabbis. Now, in that period of time, Jerusalem also had an exile, a Babylonian exile, and they came back and they reestablished the temple culture. And it was now a business. They had the religion, but they used it as a center of power. Everything was focused through the temple. Political power, world civil power. The kings were all ordained in the temple. And it was a money machine. People came in, deposited money, and they had to be taught the religion. Well, you have this area of the 10 that had been for centuries before where the 10 tribes were. And if a Pharisee wanted to make a little cash, he could go up there and run around and be the itinerant expert sent from God. And he'd criticize the local communities and teach them. If he was a good-hearted person, he taught well. But over time, these people were favored. They didn't have to work. They were supposed to be supported. And they were from the temple. You got the picture? Now, you kind of hear it a little bit in this story from Isaiah, which is written about 500 or 600 years before this. Imagine somebody walks into San Marcos and they said, "Hear the word of the Lord, princes of Sodom. Listen to the instruction of our God, people of Gomorrah." Now, that story of Sodom and Gomorrah was back with Abraham. That's 1,000 years before Isaiah. So he's not talking to Gomorrah and Sodom. Imagine ourselves being called, "This is Sodom and Gomorrah right here. Right here in River City." the prophets were saying, you're straying. You're straying. But not only the people would stray, like we all do, but those who should have been the genuine teachers of the faith had now become something else. So Jesus would say, listen to what they say. They sit on the seat of Moses. If they're teaching from the Torah, from Genesis and Exodus to Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, if they're teaching from those first five books, then what they say is inspired by the Holy Spirit. It is the Word of God. But don't do what they do. Look what they do. They widened their phylacteries. Okay, this was a Jewish way of dressing if you were a person in religious authority. What's a phylactery? Well, if you were a faithful Jew, you knew Deuteronomy 6 like the back of your hand. They even challenged Jesus. Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? Deuteronomy 6. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind. Right? You've all heard that one. All right. They would write it down on little scripts because the next line after that, Deuteronomy 6, is drill this into your children, memorize it, always say it, never forget it, wear it on your person. So they would take these little pieces of paper, write down Deuteronomy 6, put it into little cylinders or like little miniature metal books or some ways, and then hang them with tassels from their head covering, from their wrists, and they call them phylacteries. So these people would, as he said, they preach, but they do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens to carry and lay them on people's shoulders. So they're itinerant preachers coming from the temple, representing officially recognized religion from the temple, and they're walking in and they have these big wide tassels and widened phylacteries. It's supposed to be a symbol in your face. Hey, and I'm taking up collections while we're at it. What Jesus was upset about was they didn't care for the poor. They weren't shepherds. Here, these people up there had been cut off politically and religiously from temple worship. There was no heart of a missionary in any of these people. They were up there to take advantage. Teach you, by golly, what's supposed to be the truth. But they didn't care for the people. They didn't care for the widows and the orphans. That's what he's saying. They will not lift a finger to move them. All their works are performed to be seen. That's what Jesus is telling them. Call no one of none of these father. You've only got one father, the Father in heaven. You see the context? I don't think he would have said that if he had seen them fathering these people. We talk about the fathers of our church. Why? Because they gave their lives. They witnessed with their very lives caring for the early church. I don't care if anybody calls me father or not. I just hope I fulfill the role that I'm caring. My prayer is for me to be a priest who is concerned for prisoners, for the dying, for the widows, for the orphans. And that's the role we should all be concerned for. Otherwise, these words are meant for us. Hear the word of the Lord, princes of Sodom. Listen to the instruction of our God, people of Gomorrah. Listen up. That's what this is all about. Good and gracious Lord, we bring our cares and concerns to you and ask for your blessings. Show mercy to those in our community who need your help, the widows and the orphans and the prisoners and the disadvantaged, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayers.
Help us, Lord, to reveal the Word of God and our faith through our lives and our actions, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayers.
And for what else do we pray?